Good morning, guys. Starting today, we are introducing a new sermon series. Whenever the graphic changes, that's when we're starting a new sermon series. This month is going to be called The Matters of the Heart, dealing with internal kind of things in our walk of faith. Today, we're going to really be just talking about faith and how to make that our own. So before we get started, again, will you bow your head with me? Father God, we love when we can just be still with you. And in these next few short moments, Lord, will you silence the busyness of our minds and our hearts so that we might understand and be able to be convicted by the words that are going to be in our ears from my lips. Convict me, Lord, of this topic as you have been, and let that show. Let these words from my lips be yours, and let this time as well be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you guys know, I am doing college ministry at IUPUI. I did not get to go down there this week. However, I had a pretty cool conversation with a student from there that I was talking to the other day. And he's a friend of mine, and he, I don't know how this came up, but he decides to tell me that he has adopted the discipline of a Zen Buddhist. Basically just the practice of minimalizing the material possessions that he owns so that he might be able to achieve inner peace. I was like, well, that's awesome. You know, why don't more Christians do that? Why don't we practice that? And I started talking to him a little bit about how as Christians we teach that we should probably be doing that more. But not many of us do. And he's like, yeah, I've got a lot of problems with different religions, but Zen Buddhism is something that I feel like I could do. I said, well, that seems pretty hard though. He's like, yeah, I really want chicken nuggets right now. But I'm not gonna get them. And I was like, wow, what if more Christians adopted that? And he goes, well, the problem I have with Christianity is that I have a problem when somebody tells me what to do and all the rules that go along with Christianity. And I said, well, what makes you believe that Christianity is all about rules and somebody telling you what to do? And I said, don't you see any more than that? No. The Bible's just a lot of rules. I got a little worked up about that. I didn't get worked up with him. We were working, but the Bible is so much more, as you guys know, so much more than just rules. There are laws in the Bible. But one thing that distinguishes the Bible from just laws is narrative. It's a big narrative. It's a story. It's history. It's a history book. And in that, there's people, there's lives, there's thousands of years of people just like us in settings just like this, hearing messages quite similar to this about topics very similar to this. And a lot of times it's easy for us then to take verses upon verses out of context and say, this is what the Lord is calling us to do, or this is what the Lord is telling us because it's in the Bible, this one line. But in any given line, in any given story, is about the story, it's not about the words. And hopefully today that's something that we can recognize, is especially in the Old Testament. I mean, we've got the Levitical laws and the laws of Moses, but beyond that is just a whole bunch of awesome, awesome stories filled with awesome, awesome people. And that's what I hopefully will get across today. As we take Ezekiel, for example, Ezekiel was called to be a prophet in the fifth year of the Babylonian exile of the Israelites. And what I mean by that is that when Babylonia, the Babylonians, and the Egyptians were fighting, they were fighting for territory, and they were fighting against each other in the sixth century. And so the Babylonians did a series of sieges on Jerusalem and on Judea, and they eventually took over the Israelites and sent half of them into exile, the poorer ones into exile. You can read more about that in Jeremiah. And then the richer, more established Jews went actually into Babylonia and established kind of their own little territory in there, but they were subject to the laws of the Babylonians. And that's where we find Ezekiel. He was a resident of Babylonia. He was called to be a prophet at a pretty young age. And we can read about that in chapter 1 of Ezekiel. And you guys don't have to flip there. If anything, flip to chapter 29. We'll get to that in a minute. But let me just read a little bit of Ezekiel's calling, because this is pretty important. I don't know if the Lord has ever spoken to you guys like this. Not all of us are called to be prophets or teachers of the law or anything, but I would love to hear if the Lord has spoken to you like this. Just listen. In verse 3, the word in chapter 1, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of whoever. There the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each of them went straight ahead and did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of another creature on either side, and two wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, without turning as they went. Their appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like crystallite, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. When the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Again, I don't know if the Lord has ever spoken to you like that, given you that kind of vision. But, it's just crazy. And then the Lord goes on, I'm not going to keep reading, but the Lord goes on to appear to Ezekiel himself and hand him a scroll that says, "These are my words, eat it." And Ezekiel eats it. And I don't, you guys probably know this story, but this is his calling to be a prophet. And then in the chapters to come, in the stories to come, I wish I had time to read through this with you, because it is crazy. A lot of these prophecies are for the Israelites in captivity with him, and a lot of them are for kings of surrounding nations, the baddest of the bad, that he goes up to and gives these prophecies that say that they are going to be destroyed. And the craziest part of that is that a lot of these haven't come true yet. The one that we're going to read a little bit out of today, chapter 29, is a prophecy against Egypt. And in that time, like I said before, Egypt and the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, were fighting. Ezekiel was a Babylonian resident. Two global superpowers. Put that into the context of today, if you will. And imagine that one of the rivals of the United States, there's a prophet that emerges out of captivity in one of those rivals of the United States. And somehow he gets a plane ticket over here. Somehow he gets into the country. Somehow he walks up to the White House, knocks on the front door, and somehow our president sits down with him for a minute. And this is what this prophet says to the Pharaoh, who was a godlike figure. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, you great monster lying among your streams. You say, 'The Nile is mine, I made it for myself.' But I will put hooks in your jaws and make the fish of your streams stick to your scales. I will pull you out from among your streams with all the fish sticking to your scales. I will leave you in the desert, you and all the fish of your streams. You will fall in the open field and not be gathered or picked up. I will give you as food to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air. Then all who live in Egypt will know that I am the Lord." And then he walks out alive. And then does it again and again and again. Alive. If that is not a testament in itself to how good God is, what is? But as I was putting myself into Ezekiel's shoes this week and really trying to learn about this man, he was a priest's kid, a pastor's kid, as we would say today. He was called by the Spirit of the Lord to prophesy, to be a watchman. In chapter 33, it says he was a watchman over the people of Israel in Babylonian captivity. And the Lord kept speaking to him. Time and time again, the Lord would just give him words, and he would speak, and like I said, a lot of them would be fulfilled, but a lot of them haven't been fulfilled yet. And if I know anything about prophecy, I would know that, especially these Egypt ones, most of these have not come true yet. A lot of us know Ezekiel as a prophet who prophesies a lot about the coming of days, the end times, the millennium and after that, or whatever you believe. And it's really hard to imagine that after each one of these prophecies, there wasn't a confidence shift in him time and time again. You know, like, to put it in perspective, if that happened today in the United States, what would have our president have tweeted after that? 3 years down the road or a month down the road when these prophecies have not been fulfilled, what do you think he would have said back in retort? Because we know he probably would. And yet, the Lord uses Ezekiel time and time again. And I keep coming back to chapter 1, which we read in the beginning. Why wasn't Ezekiel's confidence altered like mine would have been? Why wasn't his faith tested? I mean, maybe we don't read about that because this is an autobiography, but still, you know, if I was writing an autobiography, I would probably leave out the part when I was crying in my room before going to speak to the Egyptian Pharaoh. But at the same time, I would like to think that you would have to have this crazy, crazy amount of faith to be able to walk up to the king of Tyre, to Sidon, to Cush, to Egypt, and prophesy over these different kings and pharaohs and leaders. And you have to go back to where he was called and how. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, and the vision of these angels appeared to him. He saw them by his very eyes. How has the Lord spoken to you? Maybe it's like that, maybe it's not. What has the Lord done in your life that causes you to maintain that faith, that keeps you going? What does it look like today? Well, I've never been spoken to like that. Have you ever been healed? Have you ever been set free? Have you ever been saved by the Lord? Have you ever heard a testimony of how the Lord has worked in somebody else's life? These are all relevant. These are all the same thing. These are all what push us forward in the faith to be Christians, to be warriors, to be watchmen over our flock, over our families. How has the Lord worked in your life? Ezekiel was a writer, and he kept these things close to his vest. For me personally, I have a little journal, like a 4 or 5 inch journal that I usually keep in my back left pocket. And it is all of the words and the characteristics of myself that I have heard God call me. It's my identity. It's the thing that I can look on, and it's usually in my back pocket that I can say, this is what the Lord has said about me. To others, I know it's a memo pad like this, or a journal that they keep with them wherever they go, or in their rooms, or in their prayer rooms, and they look on it, and it is a list of the provisions that God has had or has done in their lives. What has the Lord done in your life? And how often do you spread that? How often do you tell those stories to other people? This is so important. So my message is simply today: lean on the provisions and the revelations of God to you and to others, so that when God calls you to do crazy things, like God called Ezekiel to prophesy over Egypt, against Egypt, you will be ready. You will have the faith to stand up and knock on those gates and listen clearly for the word of the Lord. And the craziest part is this isn't his craziest prophecy. One of the coolest things about Ezekiel is that God continues to pass this vision, these prophecies, give him revelations about what New Jerusalem, what the new temple will look like. And the craziest thing is that he gives the dimensions foot by foot of what the new temple will look like. And when I have asked the Lord to speak to me, a lot of times I'll listen until it gets too crazy, and then I'll just say, that can't be the Lord. But Ezekiel is in this vision for what we have as 8 or 9 chapters, from chapter 40 to 49 or 48, of what this angel is dragging him with a yardstick, and they're measuring foot by foot this vision of the temple, the new temple that the Lord gives him. And I ask myself in those moments, how strong would my faith need to be to record this, to see this clearly even? How strong would I need to be in my walk with the Lord? But then you look back on Ezekiel's life and you see that the Lord has brought him through just enough in his walk. Step by step, vision by vision, prophecy by prophecy, word by word, person by person, that he is strengthened enough in his faith to endure the next challenge. And again, my question to you is, what has the Lord done in your life to prepare you for the next thing? Write it down. Remember it. Keep it close to the vest. Because everything that the Lord has done in your life is for a purpose. Pray with me. Father God, thank you so much again for this time. Again for this day, again for another great breakfast. If we have forgotten, let us remember. If we have neglected, let us see clearly. If we have chosen to turn away from convictions, let us be convicted once again, even stronger. Lord, this is all we are, men and women that are here so that we might grow in community, in fellowship, and individually. And Lord, we ask today, even today, that you would speak to us so clearly that we wouldn't even question it, and that we would remember it. We love you, Lord. Grow us in faith today. In Jesus' name, amen.